Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. Second hour already. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City on a, man, rainy morning. Pretty nasty weather this morning. They say duck hunters like this, and I never did like going duck hunting in this kind of weather. Well, maybe when the lightning goes away and the rain quits a little bit. But all right, let's head down Port O'Connor way now. Let's check in with Captain Lynn Smith this morning. Check his pulse. What's up, Lynn?
Well, looks like the rain's fixing to hit us pretty good right here.
Yeah.
Just fixing to hit.
Trying to curl in on your end.
Yes, it is.
Man, it hit here about 3:10, 3:15. That's when it started getting it. It's still raining here, but not heavy.
But we need it, though. We're kind of dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all do.
We're pretty dry.
Yes, yeah. The whole coast could use it. Good little drench in here.
Yeah, we do. I'm not going to complain a whole lot.
No.
One of my neighbors across the street, this girl lives across the street, she texted me a couple of days ago, and she said, what kind of snake is this? She sent me a picture, and I texted her back, and I said, that's a rat snake. And she said, well, it's a dead rat snake. I said, oh, that's a good snake, though. You want those around,
man.
But she didn't know what it was, but it's a pretty good size one too.
Dang. Yeah,
scared her pretty good, but yeah, it surprised me the snakes were out because it was pretty cool that morning, you know, pretty chilly.
Yeah.
That snake was out.
They're still out and about around here too, man. It just hadn't got cold enough to put them in the ground yet.
No. Well, people don't realize, you know, down here in South Texas, it just doesn't get cold enough, you know.
And when it does, you know, those snakes, rattlesnakes, they can take the cold better than other snakes can.
Oh, yeah.
They may den up for a day or two. As soon as the sun comes out in South Texas, they're back out, man.
Oh, absolutely. They're laying in the sun.
Yeah.
They're laying in the sun, sunning. And one of my neighbors across the street had a big chili poutine plant underneath his staircase. Mm-hmm. And he came downstairs one morning and walked around his chili poutine plant. And he looked, did a double take, and he turned around and looked, and there was a small rattlesnake up in that chili poutine plant. Yeah, had gotten, climbed up
peppers.
In that chili poutine.
Trying to stay warm.
I don't know. But he was wrapped up in that chili poutine plant. Said, oh my goodness. Walked right by it. Oh my goodness. You never know.
You never know.
Oh man. Well, anyway, they did the flyover at the ranch at George West, and they got 100% flyover over there. but it kind of surprised me. They only got 50% on survival, which that was a surprise. I don't I don't Boy,
that
really
is,
agree
especially
with
as good as the fawn crops were this year.
Oh, yeah, because every doe had twins, you know.
Well, yeah, they did.
So, I think the grass was so tall that they didn't get a good count, you know.
Well, you know, Blaine did mention that the last time I talked to him. You know, he had a big fawn crop like that, but he said the coyotes and the cats and everything, he said there's a lot of does now with just singles. They don't have the twins.
And I saw that, too, when I was down there, you know, the
Predators,
other day.
Predators, man. It's kind of like sharks and dolphins in our bay right now in Bull Red.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true. And we saw one doe with a little bitty fawn. You know, a little bitty thing.
Right.
A late fawn, you know. Kind of surprising. But you never know. I mean, some of them do have them late. But I didn't see any with spots, though. None with
Blaine's
spots.
Seeing some still with spots, little bitty things.
Really?
Yeah. See, he's got such a late rut, man. It blows your mind. February, I wish I could hunt deer in February down there. Jeez.
Oh, I know. I know. Well, he's not an MLD, huh?
No.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, see, we can hunt them till the end of February.
Right.
But, and that's surprising. I know I've told you before, but I mean, I've been down there when we were trying to finish up, you know, the MLD and try to, get our quota, get our does. And, I was sitting in a stand and heard something behind me and just turned around and there were two bucks chasing a doe the end of February. And, one was a big, 12 and the other one was a big 14. Goodness. And they were back and forth chasing a doe. Huh. Big secondary rut, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, good grief. And I had never seen those two bucks. I hadn't seen them at all.
See, that's what happens, you know, down where I hunt at Blaine's. A lot of you won't see those bucks till the season's over with. You know, when that late rut kicks in, that secondary rut like you're talking about, and that's when some of them big boys come out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you know, they just lay up in that brush. And, you know, it's like we were talking about, you know, like that big buck I saw. I guarantee he doesn't even go near the feed pen. So you don't see him on trail cameras. They won't see him on trail cameras.
How many of his buddies do you think he's seen shot near there?
Probably true. Well, that's another thing. When they did the survey, now they saw 10 or 12 trophy bucks. Now, my trophies, I mean, they're talking, you know, 170 probably or bigger.
Yeah, like Booners, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 200 class.
Oh, gosh. You know,
yeah. And, I mean, you know, just take your breath away type deer, you know. But you know, we saw just on that little hunt, on that management hunt, and, I mean, we saw some you know, decent deer. I mean, some good deer, you know, 150 class. And some of the guys would come back in, you know, one they say, oh, man, we saw a real nice 10, you know. Had a real nice 10 come up. Oh, it was pretty deer, you know. And the guys were taking pictures of them and everything. But that's what keeps you coming back, man, when you see those real pretty deer. You know, it does me. I mean, that's what I live for.
Well, most of us that are into that hunting deal—that's what we do it for.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, the game manager, he and I were talking about it one day, and I said, you know, I could care less about killing one of those big deer, but I just want to sit there and have a hunter help a hunter get a good one himself. You know, I've killed enough in my life. But I really enjoy seeing them. I really do. And it sure is nice. But I tell you what, when that big one steps out, I mean, if it doesn't take your breath away, you don't have any business being out there. I guarantee you. You know, oh, that's what brings you back. I guarantee that. Man, oh, man. every day you go out, you're in anticipation of seeing one like that.
I know.
You really are.
I'd sure like to see one like that on my wall.
Oh, man, I know. I know. I've got four in my house that, I'm proud of. But they're nice. But only one of them that I've shot. The other three are deer that we took on the ranch that are reproductions.
Yeah, replicas.
And that I saw them on the ranch, and I said, I want a reproduction of that deer that a customer killed it. And I said, we were going to have reproductions made of them. And I said, well, I want one of them because I saw that deer. And I could have killed him. I could have killed him, but I didn't. And I said, I want a reproduction of it. This one deer in particular, that double drop tine deer, we saw that deer a lot. And I said, man, when we finally took him, I said, I definitely want a reproduction made of him. I said, man, we could have taken him several times.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful deer.
Man, I
double drop time.
Man, I maybe in my all the hunts I've made. Now, I hadn't made any high fence hunts like a lot of people have, but I may have seen one deer over 200 inches or close to it.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a showstopper, a heart pounder, something just, you know the feeling when you see it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lord. It's crazy.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good grief. Yep, I know it. Well, that's what got me the other day. I mean, I saw that deer, and this is a low fence ranch. And, that buck walked out. I couldn't believe it. I mean, he stepped out, and he wouldn't come anywhere near that stand. And you could see it in his eyes. He was scared of that stand. He turned around, and he was gone.
Right.
And he was 300 yards away, probably. He's a serious deer. But that particular stand, the big deer that I had seen at that stand always came out in that spot, always.
Creatures of habit, man. They got their,
yes,
just like dogs and coyotes, anything, they always use pretty much the same trails.
Yep.
And that's something.
Yep. And, I've told you this before, I think, that we leased the ranch to a bow hunter, and I took him over there, and I showed him where the big deer came and all that, and we had tripods over there and all that, and he moved everything. He moved the feeders. He moved everything.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what are you doing? I said, I told you where these big deer are coming out, where they're used to this feeder being here, and this is where they come from. And he moved everything. Moved everything. And never killed a good deer over there. Never did.
Huh.
I said, okay. Okay. And consequently, he didn't like that area. I said, okay. So I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. Leave those big deer alone. Well, I tell you, you ought to listen to somebody that's hunted that place for 20 years.
Right. No joke.
God almighty. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, that was a good one I saw. Oh, man. When the guy sitting next to you sees that deer with his naked eye, his mouth fell open. I knew it was a good one. I'm looking at him with a spotting scope, and my mouth fell open. I said, good grief. What a deer. Yeah, I'm still thinking about that one. Man.
Yeah, that, you never forget something like that when you see it. Never do.
No.
It's kind of like that big trout that you hook and you get it right up there by you, and you almost have it in your grasp, and it shakes a hook and then just glides off, just sinks like a submarine into darkness, and you're just, can't get over it.
You, ne- You never forget the big one that gets away.
I've had two like that in my lifetime that still to this day, I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Can't help myself.
me either.
Hey, when it's in your blood, man, you just can't help yourself.
Oh, I had three guys with me, three customers, and I hooked that trout on a corky. I'll never forget it. And that trout came up three times, shaking her head three times, and then making that surge and straightened the hook on that corky.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, she was a pig. I am here to tell you, boy. Oh, she was horrible. She was big. Big old bucket mouth on her. And I just caught a 27. And I hooked that trout. Oh, my goodness. And when I lost that fish, the customer standing by me said, "Don't tell me you lost her." And I just bent over. I was physically ill. I thought I was going to throw up. I said, "Yes, I did. I lost her." Oh, that was a huge trout. Huge. Oh, my goodness. Man. Yep, that was something.
You know, me fishing Galveston Bay all my career and everything, you know, our trout are just, we used to call those, like when we'd catch those 5 and 6 and 7 pounders, we'd call them pinheads, man, because they'd have this huge body with this little old head that like a 4 pounder has. And then you go down south and you catch one of those, you know, in Baffin, Mansfield area, and it's got this giant head on it and just a mediocre body with it and a big tail. And it's just weird how much difference it is from down there to up here. Whenever you hooked one up here and it had that head on it like a South Texas trout, and then you saw that massive body between the head and the tail, and I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's a no-doubter.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Gary Wheeler one time in one of my Trout Master tournaments in a Galveston, when he caught a 26-inch trout, it weighed exactly 9 pounds on the button.
Oh, my goodness.
And it had that small head and with that huge body, man, just football dimensions behind that head. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. I was down at Baffin one time, and I didn't have my BOGO with me, and I hooked this trout, and I hollered at this buddy of mine. I said, "You got your BOGO?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm going to wait over here to you." I said, "I want you to weigh this trout." He says, "Is it a big one?" I said, "She's about 26. I said, but man, she's thick, you know. You can't get your hand around this fish. I just want you to weigh her. I'm going to turn her loose. I want you to weigh her." And that fish was like 26 inches and weighed over 8. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
massive.
They are thick, real thick fish down there. Mm. You know, it's a whole different breed.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is.
Gosh, unbelievable. Well, my biggest fish, my biggest trout came out of Baffin. And I caught it at the tide gauge, and I caught it on a Corky Devil that Paul had given me to take down there and try. And I was at Paul's house one day.
Oh, gosh, Lynn, hang on, man. I screwed up. I've gone over the break by a mile. We get to talking big trout, and it just, my head goes elsewhere. I'll be right back at you, buddy. Hang on. All right, you're listening to The Outdoor Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right. Lynn, we are back, my friend.
Talking big trout.
Talking big trout. Messes a man's head up every time. Women, too.
Oh, I'm telling you.
I know a bunch of women are just obsessed with big trout.
Oh, you know it. Like Sally.
Sally, Rihanna,
Kim,
a bunch of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was funny. I was down there in Bassett one time, and way back there, and we saw a boat anchored up out there, and you couldn't see anybody in it. And I said, man, maybe somebody's hurt or whatever. So we idled over to check it out. The guy was sleeping in the boat, and it was a Wallace. It was Jim Wallace. And it woke him up. And what he was doing is he was fishing at night, and he was sleeping in the day. And he spent about 2 or 3 days out there, and he'd fish all night.
Oh, he would.
Yeah. And I said, well, Jim, you need anything, water, food, or anything? He said, nope, I got peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. That's what he was living on. I said, okay. All right. If you need anything else, let us know. He said, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. And that's what he was living on. Oh, man. Well, he's caught some big trout.
Yeah.
He caught some good ones in his day.
He walled them out in his day, buddy.
He did that. I was over at All-Star Rods one day talking to Brett Crawford, and right after Wallace had caught the state record, Brett, I was fixing to leave. Brett said, man, you in a hurry? I said, no. He said, well, Wallace is coming over here with pictures of that trout. I said, I think I'll hang around.
I think I might just hang around, man.
Yeah. So Wallace came in, boy, we were looking at those pictures, man. What a pig. Oh, God.
Man, I remember when him and Ronnie Sellers and Ed Steadman, they all were together on that trip. And, man, when Steadman had like a 12-something that looked almost as big as the state record, the 13-something that Wallace had, and Sellers had a 10-fish stringer. I don't know. It went over 100 pounds or whatever. I never heard nothing like that. Never seen anything like that. It was those boys stepped into them, and that was three fishermen there that knew what to do with them once they got in them.
Man.
They landed them and caught them. I mean, that's three studs right there. Just put a whooping on some giant megalodon trout, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Well, a buddy of mine was down at Mansfield a week prior to the Star Tournament starting.
Mm-hmm.
And he was drifting. They'd been waiting, he and a buddy of ours, and they'd been drifting. Well, they'd been waiting, but they were back on the boat. He had an 18 shallow sport, and they were just drifting, and they were down by the game warden's cabin, and they were drifting down there. And so he hooked his fish. Water was kind of off color, and he said, "Oh, it's a redfish." And so he tightened down his drag, and And he told his buddy, he said, "You just keep fishing. I'll take care of this red." So he's fighting this fish. And he got up close to the boat, that off color water, and he saw it was a trout. He went, "Oh my God." Boy, he backed off from his drag. And he got that trout up next to the boat, and his buddy netted it. And when he set that trout on the deck of that shallow sport, my buddy dropped his rod and dove on that trout like a linebacker and pinned it to the deck. Just pinned it to the deck. That trout weighed 12.8 is what it weighed.
Oh, my gosh, what a fish.
12.8. And he said, man, he said the first thing went through his mind was star tournament. But it was a week before
too
the
early,
star
man.
Tournament.
That's right. He caught that at the wrong time.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man.
Well, I was safe to say that year that and there wasn't nobody to beat that trout.
Oh, man. He's got it mounted on a board and a beautiful mount. That fish is like diving, going after some little finger mullet. Oh, it's a beautiful mount. Beautiful mount. Man, oh, man. What a trout. 12.8.
Yeah, that's a fish of a lifetime.
No, it is. It is. Well, that one I caught in Baffin, that was mine. I went there. You know, you go there to catch a big fish. That's what you're after.
Right.
And I had been to Paul Brown's house, and every time I went over to see Paul, you know, you're going to be there over an hour or more, you know, because you're going to sit there and shoot the bull with Paul.
Yeah, it takes like 5 minutes to get all your baits together, and then the rest of it is all small talk and big talk, man.
We're talking big trout, you know. And Paul had just made some corky devils with paddle tails.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Oh, let me show you what I made." So he showed me, and I told him, I said, "I'm going to Baffin, Paul." He said, "Well, take some of these, take a couple of these and try them. Let me know how you do." I said, "Okay." So this was in March, and I got over there, and it was one of those days of nasty weather, wind blowing, cold, and it seems like conditions like that, that's when you always catch big trout, you know.
Right.
It never fails. And I tied on that corky devil, and I told myself, I said, "I'm not taking it off till I catch a fish," you know. And I threw that corky devil all morning long, man, and that was the only bite I had. And that trout weighed over 10 pounds. And but she sucked it all the way in and had it all the way where gills joined. And she didn't even fight hard. You know, that water was cold, and,
right.
and she just didn't fight like you would normally fight. And I reached in there with my hemostats, and it didn't look bad, and I just popped it out. And but when I did, I saw some blood. You know, she bled.
Yeah, start squirting. Yeah, not good.
Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh, this isn't good." So I thought, well, you know, I had a hold of her tail, and I was resuscitating her, trying to let her go. But I saw blood come out of her gills, and I said, well, maybe I better put her on my stringer and just see how she does. So I put her on my stringer, and a few minutes later, I looked back at her. She was upside down, blood just gushing out of her gills.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, she's done. And
that was the only bad thing about the corky devil, man. They sucked them in so hard and so big time. I mean, you almost gut hooked every trout. You always caught them in the crusher for that treble hook on the head, you know?
Yeah. And you just had that one hook, one treble hook.
Boy, it caught some big fish. Man, that was that's still a good bait. I know a lot of people still use them.
Yes, sir.
You better be quick on the hook set, or you'll gut hook them every time, man.
And this was a big corky devil. This wasn't a smaller one. This was a big one. And, boy, I mean, she sucked it in. Man. But, anyway, I've got a stringer
mount. Let me knock out this break, and we'll come back and continue on with this corky devil and big trout and hailing them.
Okay.
Oh, man. I'll be right back at you. Well, you know, folks, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slammy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait than with the oxygen response system. Works great on tournament fish, too. Check them out firsthand at the store. And if you need more info on it, just call Jason Cochran at 281-701-8107. When you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf shrimp. No farm raised at Boyd's. It's wild-caught. If you're looking for the big, you know, 9-12s, the 16-18s, whatever count you like, they've got them. They're fresh and delicious. And their Cajun Grill next door puts out some really good food, too. So if you're down that way, you know, stop in and have lunch there. Or over in Santa Fe, check out their food truck over there. Excellent food and great prices. Call the store at 409-945-4001 or check them out on the web at boydsonestop.com. When you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 5:35 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we are back. Boy, dude, it looks like y'all didn't get much red and yellow in that rain. You just got some green and
no heavy rain
at all like we got up here.
Just sprinkles. Crazy. Sprinkles. That was it. Aren't we due another front or something coming down?
I think we're going to have a back end or something off of this one.
Yeah.
I mean, they're throwing in like a 90% chance tomorrow. And
oh, really?
Rain tonight, too. Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
Huh. Incredible.
Man, this land stretches all the way from below you through Louisiana, Mississippi, through Alabama, all the way over to Tennessee. And, man,
good grief.
Tell it's a frontal boundary, you know?
Huh. Man, oh, man.
That wind's kicking up here behind this rain. It finally, you know, slacked off here.
Yeah.
And
I'll tell you what, it blew yesterday. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
The tide was high. I mean, we really had a high tide.
Yeah, that northeast and east wind we had day before yesterday really pumped some water in here, man. And then not to mention yesterday, just adding to it.
Yeah, we had the super high tide and strong winds. Man. Yep. It had that water churned up even in the intercoastal. I mean,
right.
It was pretty messed up. But anyway, it can do nothing but get better, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
We could use a little water temperature drop because, I mean, our water's been so warm. I mean, we're used to this time of year it being colder, and then when you get these big blows, it doesn't stir the water up as bad. But, boy, it does right now. You get any kind of blow at all, the open water's muddy as heck.
Yeah. And, you know, starting this week, this is when those young bucks start chasing those does. And because when we were down there at the ranch, I didn't see any of that action. And usually about the first of December, this is when you really see those young
teenagers,
bucks start.
They'll start sniffing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they start first. They start first because December 15th, that's when the big bucks really start getting in.
That's kind of that's the beginning of your height rut, you know. It was about mid-December for you, huh, George West?
Right, yeah.
Right.
That's when they start really, really getting after it. And that's when you start seeing deer you haven't seen before, you know.
Right.
I mean, they come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, they get kind of stupid, don't we all?
Yeah. You just see deer you've never seen before. And, yeah, that's crazy.
Like a Saturday night at Gillies, man.
That's it. Yeah, buddy. Those were the days.
Oh, baby.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. But this is when you really see some good deer. And, incidentally, as far as those management hunts go, down there at George West, that ranch manager, he's wanting to do one more management hunt, and he could use a couple more hunters. So we could do one more management hunt. And on the survey,
hunt, that's like a 8-point.
Yeah, 8-point or less.
Eight-point or less, and then a doe with it or something like that.
Right, eight-point and a doe, and then pigs.
Shoot all the pigs you want. Kill them all.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Corn thieves.
My hunter got two pigs with one shot.
Oh, did he? Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. And because there's about a dozen of them came running out together.
He got them lined up just right, man.
He got two with one shot. But that works out good. But they get an 8 or a 9-point. Basically an 8. But there's some pretty good size 8-pointers, you know, and especially coming up toward the middle of December, you'll probably see some 8-pointers that haven't seen yet, you know.
Right.
There'll be some pretty good solid deer. But that's what they're trying to get rid of, you know, the bigger 8s and all that before the really rut really kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And get them off the ranch. But we saw so many young 8s. It's incredible. A lot of young 8s.
Yeah.
And everybody I'm talking to at the different ranches, that's what they're seeing too.
You know, Blaine mentioned the same thing to me too. Last time I talked to him, lots of young 8s this year.
A lot of them. So next year is going to be a ton of them. And, it'll have to do a lot of management hunting, guarantee you. When they did the survey, when they did the helicopter flyover, they came back with wanting to take 30 more bucks and 40 more does on top of what they've already killed. Yeah. So that's like to do that before the end of the season. So, that gives you an idea what needs to be taken off the place.
It's a lot of deer, man.
It gets to be work. It really
does.
Is.
How many acres is that place?
9,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of animals on that place, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's low fenced. You know, it's a low fenced place. So
right.
They're coming across.
Open range, baby.
Yes, sir.
Fly.
It is. It is. You know, and the rancher on this one side, on this other side, is a good hunter too. And he, he's good game management and all that. And they feed protein too. And he's a good guy. I told you about the dogs that came over and followed me back to the ranch house.
Right.
One dog did. He's a good guy. The rancher is, and I told him he came to pick up his dog. I said, "Yeah, I'm the guy that stole your dog." that dog followed me all the way back. I don't know, probably 3 miles or more. But that dog was not going to leave that deer. And they said, "We're training him to track deer." I said, "Well, he tracked one, all the way back.
Yeah, and he wouldn't leave it.
No,
stayed with it all the way, baby.
He did. That was so funny. When I went to get the truck and I came back, he was laying down beside that deer. He wouldn't leave him. Or her. He wouldn't leave her.
Right.
But, I loaded her up. And I tried to get him to leave. He wouldn't go. He wouldn't get in the truck or anything. He just followed me. I stopped three different times on the way back to the ranch house. I stopped at ponds and had him get in the pond, swim and drink. And it was cool down. And I didn't want him to overheat. And it was a black lab. And I said, all right, you ready? Boy, he just perked up. Boy, he was ready to go, man. And I started driving. He just trot right beside the truck.
Those black dogs get hot in that South Texas heat, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sun,
especially when the sun's out hitting them.
Oh, man.
You don't believe me, just wear a black shirt fishing in the summertime and a black hat.
Oh, God. I can't imagine that.
I've had people show up dressed like that. I said, y'all are going to die today.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, that'd be terrible.
Got to wear cool colors in the summer, man.
Oh, yeah, it could be miserable. Miserable. Yeah, I don't. Not me. I mean, I've been waiting so much, and you get so hot, you just want to sit. You sit down in the water and just get yourself wet.
Yeah.
And cool off, you know. I mean, how many times have you done that? Oh, man.
A lot.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah, our winds are swinging around up here now. There's Morgan's Point up here in the north end. It's north-northwest at 20 to 25 now. So we've got a little northwest in it. That'll get rid of some water. But Eagle Point is north-northeast at 20.
Man.
Yeah, I hate it y'all didn't get enough of that rain like we did. Y'all needed it.
Well, it sounds like we're going to get some more, though, this week. I think we'll get rain several days.
Yeah, we got a chance tonight and tomorrow for sure. And we'll just have to see on.
Need it down south.
Towards the end of the week, I think there's another front line coming. They're calling for like Thursday and Friday, 70, 60% chance of rain showers then.
Yeah. That buddy of mine has that ranch between Freer and Cotulla. He really needs the rain. And unfortunately, they're supposed to do a flyover on his place, I think the 6th and 7th. And I was going to run down there, but if that's the case, if it's going to rain and everything, they won't do the flyover there. So they'll have to postpone it. So anyway, and I was going to be curious to see how his flyover goes.
You seeing a lot of ducks on the bay down your way right now, or is it still a little thin?
No, it's pretty thin.
That's what I'm hearing from everybody on the bay now. Over here east of town, of course, Oyster Bayou Hunting Club over there, they've got primo property. I mean, they're right in the – it's always been the best hunting. They've been doing real good the last couple of weeks, really good.
Yeah.
And I'll talk to – buddy of mine that hunts there a lot, and they're doing real well, but it's spotty. A lot of guys I know that are stretched out all over up and down the coast and on the prairies and everything else. It's you'll kill them one day and nothing the next. It's crazy.
Well, this friend of mine just got in last night. He hunts Garwood in that area, and the same thing. That's exactly what he said. He has a real good hunt one day, and then the next day they didn't fire a shot.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's duck hunting, though.
It is. And, I used to hunt, especially like during teal season here on the bay, opening day, I always got a limit, opening day, no problem, because a lot of those teal are just coming through.
Yeah.
They're shooting them off the prairie. And then they're leaving the prairie and then coming through here. And so I'd always get a limit opening day. And then after that, it was real spotty. So, but then as far as big ducks, that's a whole nother story, when the big duck season opened up, we always did real well. But I haven't seen that many big ducks. I have seen some pintails. I did see a pretty good flight of pintails one day, but I've seen some redheads.
Yeah, you're going to have them redheads. They love coming that way.
Oh, absolutely.
And all down through Cliff and Corpus and all, you know, south, Mansfield.
Yeah. Oh,
lots
yeah.
Lots of redheads. Diver ducks, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you better know it. And I normally didn't shoot the redheads. I mean, I just didn't do it. But I let them pass. But
you know, a big, wait, you know, plumed out drake makes a beautiful mount, though.
They do. They're
not
pretty
as pretty
duck.
As a can. You know, that's one of my favorite mounts. Is a big, you know, mature canvasback. They're beautiful.
Oh gosh, yes.
Great
oh,
eating
yeah.
duck too.
I always wanted a canvasback to mount. You know, a good drake canvasback. But never got one to mount. But there again, I was hunting rice fields and such as that.
Right. Well, and, you know, it was closed on them forever. You know?
It was. It really was. And so I never had a chance. But I always wanted one.
Yeah.
And this buddy of mine came down last night. We went over to Josie's restaurant, and he had some teal that he had breasted out and right. cut in pieces. They marinated it and had the restaurant cook it. Oh my goodness! Oh, you talk about hurt yourself. Oh, that was good, man.
Hard
that was
to go
good.
Wrong with that, man. Them teal breasts are big time.
Oh, I'm telling
really
you,
good.
That was really good. In fact, the girl that owns the restaurant came over and wanted to know what he had marinated them in because it was really good. It was so funny. He gave a bag of that that teal cut up, marinated. He gave it to the girl, and he said, "Now I want to warn you." And he said, "I know you're going to sample it back there when you fry it, so I'm going to warn you. There's shot in that meat, steel shot. So be careful when you sample it.
Yeah,
you'll break a tooth." So anyway, we were laughing about it. But boy, I tell you what, it was good, man. It was good.
You know what I hadn't had in a long time, and I was thinking about the other day and started craving it, is Sandhill Crane fajitas, baby.
Oh, man.
I'll take those breasts, season them up like I like. You know, I just use regular steak seasoning on them, salt and pepper and everything like I do a ribeye, and I'll sear it real good over mesquite fire. On both sides, but don't, you know, get it about halfway done where it's still good and rare. And then take it in and slice it up. Marty, have your pan with all your bell peppers and the onions and butter and beer and jalapenos already cut up in there. And then cut it in strips and lay it in there, you know, like you'd cut up for fajita meat, and stir it all up and then put a cover on it and put it back on there and finish it off. It'll melt
oh my
in your
goodness.
Mouth. Makes the best fajitas you've ever seen.
Oh, man, that sounds good.
The guy I hunted with down there at Bay Prairie Outfitters, I forget his name, nice guy, he gave me that recipe, you know, 30, 40 years ago, whenever that was.
Oh, my goodness.
For Sandhills. It works good on goose breast, too, you know.
Wasn't his name Mike? Or something like that?
Yeah, I think he worked part-time at Bass Pro Shop or something, the gun department. Man, what was that guy's name? Really nice fella. But,
man.
That was good stuff. And it was, you know, you can marinate goose breast and do it the same way. It's not as good as Sandhill, though, believe me. You're still going to have a little of that kind of wild, gamey taste, but a lot of people don't like that. But that Sandhill, you'll love it. That's a ribeye in the sky there, buddy.
Oh, I'm telling
They're
you.
They're excellent. They really are.
Man, oh, man, that sounds good. Not bad. Not no. bad. That's a lot of meat there, too.
Yes.
Yes, sir. That's a big bird.
Those breasts off of those are quite nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like nice breasts off a bird. Yeah. Bird breasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clarify that.
Yeah, I was going to say, but you better clarify that.
Yeah, how about them Texans?
How about that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I tell you what, it's been a good weekend. I've been watching football and kind of
I'm
sticking
so
to the house.
Footballed out, man. That's all I've been doing, watching all these college games. I'm burnt out.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I never
I like
saw
to
so
watch
many
college.
Drop passes in all the games I watched yesterday.
Oh yeah,
quarterbacks were fired up. They were throwing rockets to these receivers, and they're trying to hand grab those. It's just man. A lot of drop balls.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, boy. Well, I get fired up watching the college games, though. I do.
Oh, yeah.
I like watching college.
Those kids are playing like, those young men are playing like it's their last game, you know, and it could be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. An old buddy of mine used to, that I graduated from high school with, he played for Texas years ago, and he passed away a couple of years ago. And he was a wide receiver for Texas. And, Reagan Genusa was his name. And Reagan, he was our quarterback in high school, Port Arthur. And anyway, he went to Texas, and he started at Texas his last 2 years at Texas. He was a starter. And he was an artist, and he majored in art. And he said, boy, he took a lot of abuse because they kidded him all the time about being an art major. And he was a starting wide receiver.
Well, that's better than taking basket weaving.
Yeah, but I went to watch him his senior year. I went to the Texas OU game, and I had great tickets. I was on the 40-yard line. And Texas beat Oklahoma 9-7 that year.
Wow.
That was one heck of a game.
Yeah, defensive ball game, no doubt.
I'm telling you, that
All
was
right,
one
man.
Heck of a game.
Well, Lynn, I got to roll out of here on time this time, so if somebody wants to call you about one of those management hunts or going fishing or what have you, give them a number, bud.
Yes, sir. They give me 361-935-6833.
All right, buddy. Lynn, have a good Sunday, man.
All right, man. You too.
And, thanks, bud. Later.
All right. Thank you. Take care,
man. All right. That's Captain Lynn Smith. Time for our top of the hour break, national anthem, all that good stuff. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.